Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's get to the NCAA tournament today. I've lost track of my bracket.
That means your bracket's no good if you're not even know what's
I'm
going
on. I'm well over 500.
Really?
Yeah, I'm well over 500, but I've lost a few. I did pick Buffalo. They won.
I got Buffalo going to the Final Four, so
I know,
first up.
I don't know. They that looked was good my, today. That was, they, didn't they won going away,
yeah,
I believe.
They did. Yeah, they did. That was just my.
They're
you know
tough.
What?
They're tough.
My thing was, every once in a while, you got to put a school nobody's really talking about, and they're pretty good. What were they? They were a six seed?
Yeah. Yeah, they are pretty good. They beat Syracuse earlier in the year. They were 31-3.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So but nobody thinks about Buffalo, is what I'm saying, even though they had a great record.
That's Alex's philosophy, too. He actually picked St. Mary's and Belmont.
Why you got to bring up old stuff?
There we go.
St. Mary's in Belmont.
What?
Yo, I had a chance there for a while.
That's like picking the Clippers against Miami.
Yo,
in the finals.
Clippers are hot right now.
That's what that is. That's like doing that.
Remember, Chris said the Clippers were going to tank, right?
That's what I heard.
They were going to tank.
Then I was told they weren't by them.
You told me that Lakers
were. Oh, did they tell you?
Yes. And they were right. They went for it.
Yeah, they
think
did.
It's good for the brand, which it is, to make the playoffs.
And it only
and
helps.
12th pick, 11th pick,
right.
Whatever.
It ain't like you giving up a top five pick. Then I could see you not wanting to win. But anyway.
How you feeling about the tournament so far?
So far? I
saw some good games today. I thought, what was the upset? Well, UC Irvine, of course, upset Kansas State. I lost that one. But there was a game Virginia had their hands full with Gardner Webb in the first half. They were actually down 6.
Gardner Webb, I think you could get a good sofa or love seat or whatever. Isn't that a furniture
anyway,
store?
Yeah. So
oh, that's Gardner White.
Virginia,
I'm sorry.
It could have been Gardner Webb and it still would have been corny.
There would have been. I'm just saying.
But
people all over America chuckling at that.
Remember, no, I don't think so. Even Kawhi didn't like that.
No, but you know,
I was laughing.
Right. Alex laughed.
Remember, Virginia, of course, lost last year. They became the first number one seed to lose to a 16, UMBC.
UMBC.
What is that? University of Maryland, Baltimore County? Is that what that is?
Something like that. I thought it was
an offshoot
of NBC television. I wasn't really sure.
But.
What, UMBC?
You are not off to a good start, man.
No, we're good.
That's
I'm warming up.
Two zeros.
I'm warming up. It's
two zeros.
I did
so
Undisputed
far.
So far. I did
I hope you were
the
better
herd.
On Undisputed than you have.
Oh,
started.
Yeah. We talked about Tom Izzo.
Well, Izzo, that's been
we'll
the story.
That.
That's been
we'll
the story.
That. But let's talk before we get to Izzo, and we'll let people. We ended the show last night with the Izzo stuff.
Yep.
People didn't get a chance to chime in. We're going to let you chime in on that coming up.
You're going to be able to hit us up at 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369.
Very nice.
That was in stereo. But yeah, do you think he crossed the line, he was overboard, or that's just coaching?
Yeah, we'll get into that. But I guess the thing tonight is this whole Zion cam as – CBS trying to lure us in? Are they going to show us? They I guess hired a camera and cameraman
camera
just for him.
Zion. So are they going to have a little box? I mean, and we're asking, are they going to have a little box?
I think that'd be too distracting. I just think they mean they will have every moment of Zion.
So they
covered.
Can go
so
back
just
and
in
forth.
Case
right, something goes on. They could just go to that and you catch the whole dunk.
If he's sipping
put back.
A Capri Sun on the sideline or something.
I don't know if I like it. For a college kid, it just, you know, it just seems like it's something that could, hopefully it doesn't.
But what
he seems like a good kid. I don't think it will distract him. But it could distract you away
but
from.
But don't they always say about you're not supposed to get anything more than your teammates? So this is what they say.
Oh, he can't get paid. He can't get, you can't get
a free.
Nike couldn't hook him up.
Or you can't get a free pizza because everybody else on the team didn't get a pizza.
Getting paid.
Right?
He just can't get any food.
You can't get anything for free if somebody wanted to, like the crab legs.
But CBS can zero in on him and make money.
And make one camera, right. Sponsored by, might be, they might get a sponsorship.
Right, right.
You think he'll get any money? No.
I just, yeah, I don't like that aspect of it, as you said, but I would, it's just, I don't know how I feel about it. You know, it's just, it's not his fault, certainly, but it can just pull away from the team concept. And
when I read it, that was the first thing I thought.
Could get his head, you know,
that's the first thing I thought too.
The team, that it pulls away from the team.
Well, yeah, and the whole idea, I'm thinking, I've been watching NCAA tourney March Madness for 35 years. I never remember them putting a camera on one. You know what
right,
I mean?
So that, right, right.
And I get it nowadays. They got all these angles and technology. So I'm like, why him? There was a lot of players they could have done this for way before this.
Right.
So I
and
don't know.
And he gets plenty of love anyway. I mean, he gets the lion's share of the credit and the coverage and all that. Now you got to throw something else on top of it. You know, I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but it's just, I could do without it.
So
we'll see if, you know, we'll see how it works.
Have
Maybe
you heard
like
this?
It.
My buddy, a former producer of mine in Detroit, name is Flage, F-L-A-G-E. He sent me a text and tell me, have you guys, any of you guys heard this? He said, CBS is advertising on the tourney games. He goes, if you want sports scores without yes. all the yelling and fake debates.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
I heard that today. I heard that today while I was watching
about?
The games.
Yeah, that's what they
and
put out there.
Let's keep it real. Let's really share with the listeners. Because you're right. They're fake debates.
That's
that
what
was what caught me.
That's what I'm like.
I was.
Fake debates.
I did First Take at the other network.
So did
Skip.
I.
You did it dating back to
Cold Pizza.
The mid, I don't know, 2005
or 2006,
whatever.
Yeah, we go way back.
We're on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon and the other shows. Never once. I've probably been on those shows combined hundreds of times.
Me too.
No question. Hundreds of times. Never once have I been asked. Not told, even asked.
To take a side
that you don't believe in. Never once.
Never happened. And I tell people that all the time. They go, do you guys just take... No. These are our opinions. And sometimes, like today, on the Izzo thing,
right?
It's three of us, me, Skip, and Shannon, and we all agreed that we thought it was out of bounds.
Okay.
So we didn't have a dissenting voice because... The three guys all, so sometimes we do that,
right.
You know, when we feel like we're all very passionate and have different points of view on it and to what degree, but we didn't make it up and go, well, Rob, can you take this side
right.
since you worked in Michigan and you know Tom Izzo, take the other, or take Skip, can you, never, I'm 100%,
never once. Because the thing that makes those shows is the passion.
Yes.
And if you're faking it, then there's not going to be any passion.
And people know when you're faking it, and you know your heart's not in it.
Right.
Let me tell you something. If you missed the last 10 minutes of our show, you tell me that one of us were asked to...
Right.
To
last night.
Last night.
About the Izzo.
Right. It's just unbridled passion from guys who just happen to disagree on this topic.
And let's again, we're throwing it out to you, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369.
And make your case again for Izzo.
Do you think Tom Izzo was out of bounds, or was he just, you know, no big deal? I honestly, Rob, I didn't think it was a big deal. I thought he yelled at the kid, and he yelled at him strong. And that can be a part of coaches. There are coaches that don't do that, but there are plenty of coaches that do that. I'm not going to try to compare myself to these guys because I didn't play big-time college basketball, but all through junior high, high school, and when I played basketball in college at the lower level, I got yelled at, and everybody got yelled at. And it was a part of coaching. When I first signed up to play football in the third grade, all the older kids, yo, you got to be ready. The coach going, yeah, it's going to be yelling. And, you know, and that was just something you expected. And it's part of it. And that I'm not one of those that, oh, just because I went through it, it makes it right. Because there are a lot of things I went through that I don't think are right. But as far as coaching, I think the line is when you're putting your hands on a kid, you're using racial slurs, you're getting personal, you know, insulting him, something about him personally, you know, things like that. And I thought what Izzo did was fine.
I thought he totally crossed the line, especially when you run up to a kid with a bald fist. Like, did you see the anger in his? I mean,
I'm not a body language expert.
No, I saw
so
it.
I mean, it's not
about being a body. We're not in a court of law. I'm talking about what I saw with my eyes.
Yeah, but when you see somebody angry, somebody's angry, it's going to look bad.
There's no way you should ever go
up. You can see me yelling at my kids, and you catch it in one moment.
No,
and you might
I watched
be like,
the
oh
video.
Gosh,
I saw the whole thing, and he had his fist. What is a fist for if you want to? That's not coaching. That's being
so
a bully.
So are you saying he was going to hit the kid?
I don't know. I think he wanted to. And then they sit down in a huddle, and he lunges at him again. What is that? That ain't coaching. Show me one video of Coach K doing that garbage. One.
Just because Coach K doesn't do it, that means it's not coaching?
And here's the other one.
He's a Hall of Fame coach.
I wanted to read this. This is what I love. Jay Billis, who looks out for the athletes.
So are we going to read everybody?
No,
because about
you can read.
Eight,
that's fine.
No,
I just want
about eight Michigan State players.
That's fine.
Defended Izzo.
Yeah,
so we going to go to that.
No,
I
but
hear your
of
view.
Course I want. I just gave you mine. I just want to read this because I think it's important, and that's all. Jay Billis just said that he and I'm going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to edit it. I know Tom Izzo and where he's coming from. He has a track record as a coach, and it's a great one. It's about what is said, not the volume. For a young coach coming up, I wouldn't recommend a similar approach. Like it or not, things have changed and coaching has changed. Young coaches need to adapt methods. That's all he wrote. So what I'm saying is that might have worked before. It doesn't work anymore. People are more sophisticated, and people don't just buy in because he's an authority figure. That's how we got to the Me Too movement, where people were authority figures and you didn't want to go against them. People now speak up against authority figures. People, when they're doing wrong, that's why so many things went bad. That's why Bobby Knight was allowed to turn into the monster.
Bobby Knight.
No, that's when he turned into
a
monster. Because everybody made an excuse for Bobby
Izzo
Knight.
Throw a chair.
They made an excuse.
Bobby Knight was
that's
that
Bobby
way from
Knight.
Day one.
He showed up with a whip.
Why are you comparing Izzo to that?
I'm just saying,
I mean,
but they allowed Bobby Knight.
The conversation.
They allowed Bobby Knight to get to that point,
Bobby
and then you know
Knight
where he took
was
it.
Like that from day one.
No, he wasn't
yes,
choking
he
out
was.
Kids from day one.
Yes,
stop
he was.
It. No, he wasn't.
Ask Isaiah Thomas.
He was not.
In 1980 and 81, how hard he coached him.
I'm talking about physically touching people, and
oh, you don't think he did that in the 70s?
No.
Okay, you need
I don't.
To check your history.
I will.
I'm sure he did.
Because I never saw it. I'm
yeah,
just telling
well,
you.
He wasn't being shown that stuff
You know
back
why he got
then.
Fired? Because he finally did it to a kid. He wasn't even on the basketball
Look,
team.
Everything.
Some kid said, hey, Knight. And he went into a rage because he didn't call him Coach Knight or Mr. Knight or whatever. And he choked the kid. That's how he lost his job.
Every little development in 2019 doesn't mean it's right. Just because, oh, it's 2019, we do. No, some things in the past were fine. Everything wasn't wrong back then.
Nobody said it was, but we've gotten smarter and better as people. And
really?
We treat
have
people different. Yes,
I
we
think
have.
We've gotten softer
no.
in a lot of ways.
It ain't, that's a lamest.
We've gotten
what does that
in
mean?
Some ways.
We hear that all the time.
It means
they
get killed.
Coach
can't
that
yell
ain't got
at a
nothing.
Kid.
Now, what are you can yell at him?
You yelling
it's at
me
a degree.
Right now.
I ain't soft. I'll yell
right.
at you.
Right. It's fine.
But this is a debate conversation. That's all right.
There's authority is fine.
No, not when
no,
you run
no
up to a kid.
No authority
no.
at all.
You
no
run up to a kid with your fist
the
balled
kid
up.
The himself said it was okay.
That,
he wasn't
of course,
gonna
the kid's
kid. Going to
say it.
No,
all
why?
Those kids
of course.
Are. All those kids are brainwashed.
They don't
you
have
know
to
why?
Go there.
Because
they
because
went to some
once Izzo comes
yell?
In and gives them a scholarship and comes into their
oh,
home,
hey, he was the
they'll be holding
to
that guy. And I'll tell you this. The
He's
problem
the only
is
one offering them a scholarship.
They can't do,
None
no.
of these kids could have went to another school.
They are already there. He knows he'd mess
Aaron
up his
Henry
whole career.
Aaron Henry wasn't there. And Aaron Henry didn't have to choose time. Izzo,
he went,
knew
but
his
once he was there, he can't go back.
He knew that
he
history.
Can't do it.
Oh, he didn't know Izzo was a yeller?
He didn't know Izzo was going to ball up his fist and try to sock him in the mouth.
He didn't know Izzo was a yeller?
I'm telling you.
You and, said Izzo's been doing that forever.
And they don't think nobody ever thinks it's going to happen to them.
Oh, stop it. I went into college knowing I was going to get yelled at. Let's stop making pansies out of people.
That's a there you go,
up.
Macho Chris Broussard.
No.
Oh,
you don't
pansy.
Even like football.
Oh, that's
they hit
soft.
Too hard in football.
Oh, whatever.
Let's
Yo.
Make it flag football.
But you're not the guy.
I can't watch boxing.
You're not the guy dropping dead at 55 and can't play with their kids.
Oh, yeah, all the football players do that,
that's
right?
It. And Chris Broussard.
All the football players drop
dead so
at 55.
I'm so Mr. Macho football.
Please.
Oh, I can't yell at people.
Everybody's made of ceramic. They're going to crack snowflakes. They're made
877-99 on
Crystal.
Fox.
You yell at them, they're going to fall apart.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are excited to bring in our next guest. You hear the music behind us. This is how he became famous, Saved by the Bell. But now he has his own radio show on iHeartRadio. It's called On with Mario Lopez. He has two podcasts. One podcast, The Three Knockdown Rule. And then he's also the co-host on Extra. And he has another podcast. This guy is busy.
Man.
Listen to Mario. That's the other podcast. None other than Mario Lopez. Mario, welcome
Mario.
To The Odd Couple.
Oh, thank you for having me, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Glad we finally connected.
Definitely.
You heard us playing the music Saved by the Bell, and I don't know if you like or don't like looking back at those days. But I think one thing that's great for you, a lot of people that are in these great
child stars,
or even adults, they can't move out of that role. Like we were talking earlier about the Fonz on Happy Days, and he had trouble moving out of that role. Batman, Adam West
never could move.
You've obviously been able to do that. Was that hard for you to do, or were there challenges in your way as far as moving out of the Saved by the Bell character?
Well, there's always challenges when you're making a transition as a child actor into the adult world, especially when you were on a popular kid show and you get stereotyped for your character. But I feel very blessed for that opportunity. I can't believe it's still on TV 30-some-odd years later and in 183 countries. So I just kind of blows me away for like this little Saturday morning show that resonated with so many people. It just, you know, trips me out. But I feel very fortunate that I was able to stay as busy as I have and do as many different things I'm able to be doing, from, you know, Broadway and writing a few books to being a New York Times bestselling author and hosting like five different shows. And, you know, very, very fortunate. And I think blessed with a great family and support system. And I always had a strong work ethic. So, you know, mom put me out singing, dancing, acting, playing sports, doing everything growing up. And I think that helped as far as multitasking and not necessarily just seeing myself in a certain way. I always wanted to be as diverse as possible. So, you know, it's worked out. So far, so good. Haven't had to get a real job, as my dad would say.
That's right. And, you know, speaking of sports, that's where we met. We met in the suite at a Dodgers World Series game. So the season's about to start next week, next Thursday. And, of course, the Dodgers went to back-to-back World Series. You think they can make it a third year in a row? And what's the possibility of finally winning it for the first time in 32 years?
You know, I was so honored to be able to, being a former Boys Club member, be out there and represent the Boys and Girls Club of America for the first home game in both of those series, and got to take my son on the field with me. And he looks at me after every series is over, because I take him and he's like, "It's all right, Dad, we didn't win. We'll just come back next year." And I'm like, "It doesn't work like that." he's only five, and he just thinks the Dodgers are going to be in the World Series every year. And I'm like, no. I mean, it'd be awesome, but hey, listen, we've been so spoiled out here. And odd, it's been pretty the one that really just breaks my heart is Houston. Houston breaks my heart. Boston, you got to give it up to them.
Right.
They all around, I think, were just a better team, top to bottom. But Houston, I feel like we blew that one, to be quite honest. So it's frustrating. But, hey, I'm always down with the Dodgers, win or lose. And that's probably my favorite team sport to attend in person, to tell you the truth.
Nothing better than a baseball game on a beautiful night.
Mario,
yes, exactly.
You said you grew up playing sports. What was your favorite sport, and what kind of athlete were you?
I grew up wrestling and boxing. Because I was young, and I could only focus on the individual sports, because team sports, you had to be there, right?
Right.
They don't let you slide with that. But when you're wrestling, all you got to do is beat out the guy in your weight class. So, and I've always been fond of individual sports anyway, just because, just like life, there's no one to rely on but yourself. And I don't want to have to worry about someone else for my success. And if I lose, I want it to be because of me. And if I win, I want all the glory. So I want, I've always been partial to individual sports, and I just think it's a, takes a certain kind of man to participate in them. So I've got my son, you know, I've got two kids, one on the way, and I got...
Congratulations.
I got, yeah. Thank you. So he's wrestling, he's doing jiu-jitsu, he's doing gymnastics, all individual sports.
Wow.
So I just think it kind of, at the very least, I like what it teaches. A lot of self-confidence, instills a lot of discipline, not to mention self-defense. And those are all attributes that I think will help and contribute in just in life.
It's the iCup. We're joined on Celebrity Corner by Mario Lopez.
Mario, what about football? Chargers fan or Rams? Which fan?
I'm a Chargers fan, man. You know, originally I was born in San Diego. I'm from Chula Vista. I'm a border town kid. I'm
okay.
First generation right here. So, you know, my parents immigrated from Mexico. So I grew up a Chargers fan. But I've been coming to L.A. since I was 10 years old and essentially really, you know, an Angelino. But nevertheless, always like the Chargers. So I'm Chargers, Dodgers, Lakers all day.
Lakers, not a good season first year with LeBron.
Are you really shocked by this?
That they're not making the playoffs?
A lot of people thought when LeBron came that it was going to be back to the glory days.
Well, I'm always the eternal optimist. So I was hoping that was the case, and then I quickly realized we'd been hoodwinked. And L.A. is cold as ice, too. Because what game right. was I at? They were talking. They were chanting, "We want Kobe." I'm like, that is cold as ice. But, oh, man, I should ask you guys, is there a future? Is this thing going to bust up just in our face, or what's going to happen?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on who you get. And really, all of it depends on who you get. And
well, Chris,
Anthony,
are they going to want to play with him, though?
Well, I don't think you're getting any of the big-time free agents.
Yep.
I think Anthony Davis would obviously be a trade. So, and he does want to play with LeBron. But you can forget Clay, Kyrie, KD, and Kawhi.
And Mario, I'll say this. I don't think he's going to win a championship here because I think they won't be able to get that player that they wanted.
And he's getting older.
We saw it for the first time, you know, with the injury this year. Like, LeBron was an Iron Man. So,
right. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was hoping you had some insight that would deter me in my thinking.
No. You're spot on.
No,
you can fill in on the show one day with the sports take you have.
Kept secret out there. I want to get to boxing. You said you box. I know you're a big boxing fan, and obviously the three knockdown rule. And all that. So, real quickly, we got about a minute left. Errol Spence, I'm sure you're probably pulling for Mikey Garcia, but obviously Spence was just too much for him. Terrence Crawford, Keith Thurman. Who's the best welterweight out there?
Errol Spence. And you know, I like both guys prior to the fight. Errol Spence, I like him as a fighter, and I like him as a person. He's a gentleman. I like the way he carries himself. And Mikey Garcia, my God, the balls on that kid to go up through those weight classes. And so, you know, kudos to him, but I never thought that was going to be competitive from the get. Now, Errol Spence, I think, is not only the most talented welterweight out there, one of the most talented fighters pound for pound. Kind of reminds me of a young Marvin Hagler in the sense that he's southpaw and he's skilled, but he's a great finisher when he does have you hurt. I was actually pretty surprised that he showed Garcia so much respect, being as small as he was, but Garcia's crafty in there, too. He's got great footwork, and defensively he wouldn't let his hands go, so he couldn't counter too much. But I think Spence, outside of Terrence Crawford, which that's number one on my Mount Rushmore of fights I want to see, even over Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder, I want to see Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. And to me, that's a 50-50 fight, because Terrence Crawford is bad.
Right.
I love Terrence Crawford. He's nasty with it. He fights southpaw, but he's not even a southpaw. He makes adjustments great. He's got that killer instinct. Very, very smart in there. So to me, that is a pick'em fight. Whoever is able to execute their game plan and on that night. I really couldn't tell you who's going to win that fight. That's when it gets me so excited.
Mario, one last thing before we let you go. You know, you're on one of my all-time favorite episodes of The Golden Girls. Chris thinks it's just a so-so show. I try to tell him it's one of the greatest sitcoms ever.
It is.
Tell Chris
well,
how
Mario
good The Golden
Girls was on it.
No,
he's gonna say it. Of
Mario,
course.
That's Yo, a great show.
I was on that show. You know, what's funny is, ironically, it was a very topical show for today because I got deported.
Yes.
On that show, I was like a Cuban refugee. Yep. I was like the original Elian Gonzalez, right?
Yeah.
And so I got deported, and they still play it all the time. But that show was like the original Sex in the City, but with little old ladies.
No doubt about
it. Rob is about to go on the Golden Girls cruise.
Hey, Mario, I'm on the waiting list. I'll be the 6'4" black guy going to the
the only one on the boat.
That's all right.
That's awesome.
Mario,
get on it, man.
Yes. Great stuff, man.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
buddy.
It. And look, we'd love to get you back on, you know, when one of these big fights is coming up or something.
I'd love that, man. I'd love that. Any kind of fights, any boxing, any MMA, I'm your guy. So I'd love to talk to you guys.
I'll see you. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless, guys. Take care.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Everybody talking about Zion, but there's a lot of people talking about somebody else. And he is from a mid-major. He just got off the phone with Russell Turner, coach of UC Irvine, which upset Kansas State in the first round. And all the mid-majors, all the guys that have ever gone to a mid-major are pulling for this kid, Ja Morant.
Yes.
Played with Zion in AAU.
I saw that picture. Well, who's the other player? There was another player.
There another one on there?
I can't remember who the other guy was, but there were three guys that they showed a picture of.
I'm like, how did he wind up at Murray State? You know what I mean? I asked an NBA scout that. He said, hey, college coaches make mistakes sometimes.
And you know what? Some guys blossom.
Damian Lillard was at Weber State.
Some guys blossom later.
Yep.
You know
yep,
that? I
yep.
mean, don't forget.
C.J. McCollum was at Lehigh.
That could happen.
Yeah,
Steph
yeah.
Curry was at Davidson.
Right, right.
I mean, are you forgetting
the greatest
that?
Greatest example,
right? I mean, so how did he get there and nobody recognized his talent, especially for a guy
whose dad
played in the NBA? But then again, look at Jordan's kids. It's not automatic.
Oh no, no. I mean, heck, we were watching. What was it? UC Irvine?
Right.
They had three guys from the NBA lineage. Caron Butler's son was there. Walt Hazard's grandson.
Because we used to work with Jacob, his other.
Yeah, yeah. He's not at Fox anymore?
Jacob? No. He's working for
his other
entertainment company. His other
Jacob played on teams with me on rec leagues.
Right. Jacob played at Arizona.
Yeah,
right.
Walk on.
Yep, walk
but
on.
He played there.
But his dad, I mean his grandfather.
Yep, was Walt Hazard. So, yeah. But anyway, for all that we've heard about Ja Morant, Leonard Hamilton, the Florida State head coach, he may have taken the cake.
He was the what you call, right? Wasn't he the Wizards coach?
Yes.
With Jordan.
Yep. With Jordan. And he had this to say, Florida State, the fourth seed, they play Murray State next. And I got to be honest, I'm pulling for Murray State. I want to see Ja Morant go as far as he can.
Well, you want to get more of him.
Yeah,
I get it.
You want to see more of him. And so, anyway, here's what Leonard Hamilton, even though I picked Florida State, but I'm pulling for Murray State. In my bracket, I picked Florida State. Here's what Leonard Hamilton said about Ja Morant.
All right, here we go. Pour it on thick.
He did. Right. What I notice is he's one of the most exceptional players that I've had a chance to watch play. And this is a guy that's coached in the NBA, been around a long time. Said he's kind of a throwback to guys who have the ability to score points, but he also has the passion and the excitement about creating opportunities for his teammates. Guys like Nate Archibald.
Wow.
Who can lead the NBA in scoring and lead in assists at the same time. A guy like Magic Johnson, who got so much joy making the game easy for his teammates.
Magic, wow.
This one is not as big, but still was a good player. Even a player like Muggsy Bogues, who has an uncanny way of making things easy for his teammates. So that is some high praise.
Because Leonard Hamilton was also, he coached at Miami, didn't he?
In college?
Yeah, coached at Miami,
Miami of Florida, I believe. Right?
Yeah.
He's been around
a long time. Okay, like he said, and you said, and he coached in the NBA, Coach Michael Jordan. So he knows the pro game. He's been around, seen a lot of players. Pretty high praise.
I've seen highlights of Ja and all that
the first time I really sat and watched and kind of analyzed his game was the first game of the first rounds in the tournament. And I was just – the dude was outstanding. I mean, and he averages 25 points a game or 24.4 and 10 assists. And so I thought he was probably a scorer, and obviously you see the dunks and all that. What I was impressed by was his playmaking ability. Like, he's not a guy that gets his assists, and I don't mean this as an insult, but like a Russell Westbrook or Allen Iverson, when they're going to the – they're mainly scorers, you know. And Westbrook's changed a little bit. But, you know, they're going to the basket looking to score, and then as they draw different attention from defenders, then they'll kick it to a teammate.
Right.
This guy runs the offense. Like, it was almost like he's looking first to make plays for his teammates.
In the first game, what was he, 5 for 9 from the field?
He shot 9 times. Now, he's had 17 points. He shot 9 times. He shoots 50% from the floor, which I love. And 81% from the line.
But he's efficient. He doesn't he doesn't need a lot of shots.
Yeah, he looks like the truth. Now, we had Rashawn Phillips on, who's our college basketball guru.
Right.
He loves Ja, but he didn't predict stardom in the NBA. Said he'd be really good. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what I saw in that first game, I'm thinking, like, this dude can be great.
So,
like,
do you think he could overtake with a great tournament? Could he overtake Zion
and
or no?
Be the number one pick?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
He's got a lot of mojo going, and
yeah,
you know what I mean.
I can see why a team
would you say
might,
that?
Yeah, I can see why a team might think that, you know. And let's see what he does, because obviously he's stepping up in competition. You know, Murray State is a mid-major, so now he's playing the big
playing
boys.
The big boys.
If he
right?
continues to dominate like that, but he's a freshman. You know, we've seen upperclassmen, juniors, seniors do this. You wouldn't be as impressed because. Well, he's playing
well, you
against
should,
younger kids.
Right, you should, right. Because you've,
yeah, exactly.
you've been in college
the
basketball for 4 years.
Best kids
right.
in the NBA.
Exactly.
But a freshman to step in and do it, I'm sure he's only probably touching on his potential because he clearly is a late bloomer to some degree. So, you almost have to take Zion.
No,
now,
you would be
you?
Afraid as a GM because
right.
if you take a kid who blossomed in the tourney, and I'm not saying he didn't have a good season.
Right.
But – Zion's been that guy all year, and then you kind of flake at the end. And, you know, like, there have been a lot of bad first overall picks.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
just say, I mean, we could go through the list.
Anthony, who's the kid?
Bennett?
From Bennett, yeah, from Cleveland.
From
Anthony
Cleveland?
Bennett. I mean,
Fultz?
Andrew Wiggins is good, but he's not living up to what people think.
People thought he was the
right.
next it. I mean, my goodness.
Yep.
And you don't even, and I'm just saying, you don't even hear his name most nights.
No.
You don't.
He's a fine third or fourth option, but that's not what the number one
Greg
pick is.
Greg Oden didn't
to be
pan out?
Because of the injuries.
Right.
I think
but I'm just
would've.
Saying.
Yeah. And you mentioned, who'd you just say? Markelle Fultz.
Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, it's plenty. I mean, so you have to be careful. But, yeah, I think the question really is, can Ja Morant overtake R.J. Barrett? Or has he already as a second pick? It might depend on what you need. R.J. Barrett, swing man. Doesn't shoot it incredibly well, but probably will develop that. But we had Jeff Goodman on yesterday. He said, you know, RJ is kind of plays bully ball. 6'7", gets to the hole. Probably be a scorer. I think I like Ja better than him, but, you know, competition level is a little different too.
Yeah, because that does count and it does matter.
Yep.
Who you're playing against, who you're scoring against, who you're going against defensively. Because when you get to the NBA, this is what we always talk about. When you get to the NBA, everybody's good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody.
Right.
Everybody was the man. Everybody was Mr. Basketball in their state. Go look at it. It's unbelievable to make it to that level. There's only 400 jobs.
Right. And Ja Morant is a sophomore, not a freshman. He's a sophomore. He averaged 5 turnovers this year.
That's a little sloppy,
yeah.
But then again, you are handling the ball.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
still a lot.
Right? No,
especially
it is.
In 40 minutes.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But he's tough. I mean, it's this is what, you know, look, remember Dwayne Wade? Coming out of nowhere is the right phrase, but not a lot. He made his name in the tournament at Marquette, you know, and I remember when Pat Riley drafted him 4th or 5th.
Yeah, I think it was 4th.
Because it was LeBron, Darko,
Carmelo.
Carmelo and Bosch.
And probably. Bosch. So, and he's, so, yeah, he's, so he's fifth.
And I thought Riley had made a huge mistake because I was like, you got Eddie Jones. Why are you drafting another two guard?
Right.
You know, and so that's a, that's kind of says, look, take the best player.
Yeah, no, no, no. You got to be careful about that. I always wonder, though, when you say that, you know, was Portland really – did they really make a mistake when they had Clyde Drexler? And no, I'm just saying, you had Clyde Drexler.
Because it wasn't – was took, it Bowie?
They took Sam Bowie.
Olajuwon went
no,
second.
No, no. Olajuwon went first. Bowie went second.
Oh, that's right.
Olajuwon in front of Jordan. First. Right. Bowie was second.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying from the standpoint that you already had – Clyde Drexler was a hell of a player and had a great career.
Right. Hall of Famer.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Right. So it wasn't like – you know, should we take another two guard? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's interesting. Because,
it's a weird thing.
Nah, I hear you. Yeah, if, I mean, you like you said, it's not a good two guard we have. It's a great,
a great
one.
One.
He's a swing. He played some small forward.
But he did. But right.
It's interesting because Clyde, I had him on my podcast last year in the zone. He told me he wanted them to draft Jordan. He actually talked to them about drafting Jordan because he felt they would have been now as good as Scottie Pippen and Jordan were. Drexler, I think in a vacuum, Drexler is better than Pippen.
Yeah.
Now, but Pippen was a great fit with Jordan.
I was going to say, now, the only thing is I'm not sure with Clyde.
The fit,
even though you could have more than one guy, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been, but it would have been interesting. Obviously, they didn't. They took Sam Bowie. He got injured, and it was never the same.
No.